It's going down right now with the Joseph Barb podcast. Make sure y'all watch the Joseph Barb podcast. Ringing off right now. I am the KID, the King Capri. You know what it is. Salute. Block party action. Me.
Welcome to another episode of the Joseph Barb podcast. We have here our special guest for today, Ms. Donna Pazdera. Donna Pazdera, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. This is really exciting.
You know what? I'm so glad that you stopped by because, you and I have a little bit of history together. We've been a part of our lives for quite some time. I mean, I had you for one of my classes back when I was a college student, and we've just maintained that relationship. So thank you for coming by.
I'm very excited. Yeah, I have known you a long time. And as I mentioned earlier before we started recording, yes, you were one of those people that always stood out to me. You were sort of a class clown.
No, not at all.
But that was in a good way.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I have a lot of fond memories of our classes and reporting and communication writing and so forth. So thank you so much for helping me create my craft. And I really appreciate it. And it doesn't go unnoticed. But what are you working on now, man?
Well, right now, today, actually, I am working on an episode of my podcast. Let's plug another podcast. Mine is called The Stubborn Tortoise. And this was something I created about 3.5 years ago. It was like, here's a funny backstory. I was really, really sick. And this is before COVID. And it was like in the middle of July, and I had rescued, I live up in San Antonio now, and there was a kitten next door that had gotten its back leg stuck in a wrought iron chair, and it was like dangling. Oh, it was just horrible. And it was just screaming and crying. And of course, my first instinct was just to rush over there. I swear there's a point, rush over there and save the kitten. And of course, Kitty is scared and hurting and everything else. And so as I'm trying to pull the little leg out, and it was really stuck, Kitty bites me. So I'm bleeding profusely, and I knock on my neighbor's door, and I'm like, you guys gotta help. Anyway, long story short, I ended up going to the emergency med clinic, because of course it was like on a Sunday, and they gave me an antibiotic. And I never had a bad experience with antibiotics before, but unfortunately this one, oh gosh, it's hard to say anything politely about this, but let's just say it stripped my intestines of all the good gut bacteria. And I got this horrendous, and you never want this, horrendous illness called C. diff, which is, I'll just leave it at that. You guys can look it up. It's letter C, D-I-F-F. And I was so sick. I mean, it was just terrible. And I couldn't run. I couldn't do anything because you can't get dehydrated, because if you do, you could die. And instead, so then I ended up getting on a second antibiotic. So anyway, all in this time, I have nothing else to do. So I grabbed my trusty phone. Well, not this one, but my then phone.
It was a Qualcomm, right? Or was it a Nokia?
No. I've always been an Apple person. So it probably was my Apple, probably my Apple 7 or something.
Something like that. Yeah. There's been so many Apple phones already, hasn't there?
Well, I know. And then I got one about a year or two ago, and then I just didn't like it. And so then I did spring for the Pro 13 Pro. So I like it. It's got a good camera. Anyway, so, but I went into, this is something I learned at a workshop about audio is if you don't have the sound equipment, which I'm not using mine right now, sorry. But if you don't have the sound equipment, go in your closet and start recording. And this is what I have my students do. And so I'm sitting in my bedroom closet, surrounded by clothing, talking into my phone, recording my first episode of my podcast. Essentially, it started out, I used to have a blog, and that was the same name, The Stubborn Tortoise. And I basically just started by reading entries from that blog, because they're all, stories of trail running and things like that, and just about me being a slow but determined trail runner, and a little non-traditional in that I didn't really get started until I was like in my late 40s. So but eventually it did evolve, and I did get to come out of the closet. And I did get myself a microphone in disrepair at the moment, but yeah. So
did you like that? The little sound effects?
Yeah. I like how you do this all live.
Yeah, no, this is the first time I actually do it. But in any case, yeah. I mean, I remember I believe in one of your classes you did tell us about that. Like, if you don't have the traditional soundproof rooms or studios or something, you know, go into a closet where it's, you know, and make sure that you soundproof the room and do it there and try to record audio there. And sure enough, it works. So it's a great idea. I think, I mean, I've been using that for a while. I know if you can't afford traditional sound equipment, that's probably the most foundational skill you can do.
Yeah, for sure. And well, I'm glad to hear that that worked for you. Well, I mean, I felt kind of funny because it was like, I told my students to go do it and I'd never really tried it. And there I am, you know. So, I mean, for probably a good year, I was sitting in my closet. And then, of course, you know, I've got two cats, and then, you know, I'd have the door shut, and, you know, of course one would want to, you know, come in, and oh God, it was really bad. So
wait a minute. Oh, hold on. So you used to give us advice and you wouldn't even take your own advice?
Well, I never had to. I just learned this stuff. Like I went to a workshop and I guess that was one of the things, you know, I mean, I knew, you know, like you're supposed to get things called room tone and, you know, nat sound and things like that. But again, my podcast didn't really lend itself to that because it's pretty much unedited.
Right.
I don't think there might be one or two episodes that I've edited, but no, I just, you know, just kind of let it raw and unfiltered.
You know what? And you know what? Our podcast is very, very, very similar because it's the only editing that is done is only done for YouTube purposes. Mm-hmm. You know, where the video comes in and the editing of that and putting in the intros, putting in the outros and so forth.
That's what I do too.
Other than that, it's raw and unedited. I really enjoy that. And I think our listeners do too.
I think so too. It's more authentic. And I think that's probably the thing two things about that I use as a selling point on this, is that it's very DIY. Okay. You know? and it's, you know, authentic. And I try to keep my episodes to about 30 minutes. Now, if I'm interviewing somebody, it'll go longer. But for a long, long time, it was just me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you most definitely, Donna, you have the art of storytelling. I've listened to your podcast before, and, you know, it's very engaging in the sense that I don't get bored because I want to know what else you're going to say. The Stubborn Tortoise is something that I've listened to before, and that's where I think most recently I started connecting back with you again and saying like, hey, I loved it. Thank you so much for sharing, you know, because again, there's so many people out there and you don't know how it's impacting others, but I'm sure it'll impact people in the long run.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, I go to trail races now. And again, you don't have to be a runner to listen to it because it's really just about like, and I just use the trail running as sort of like a
some type of metaphor.
Yeah, that. And I think also it's like, well, if you don't do anything interesting, then, you know, you're not going to really have any stories to tell. So, I mean, you know, there's hardly a lot of road races. You're going to go, wow, I did that 5K, you know, and it's like, yeah, well, you know, you're not pooping in the woods or stuff. But yeah. And yeah. So anyway.
You know, most recently there was a story that I read about a San Francisco 49er player that went to Green Bay and had to, you know, use his apparently there was no restroom in sight, so he decided to like pee somewhere, and he was captured on camera. So here they have, you know, straight up on news, you have this 49ers player urinating on the field.
Oh my God.
But those are stories that it's a story to tell.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. And I mean, I think that's really what it's about. And I mean, again, I'll be at trail races and I can't, especially the last year or so, it's like, I'll get people, they approach me. Sometimes they recognize my voice.
Right.
And they'll just be like, are you Donna? Are you the podcast lady? I'm like, yes. And they're like, oh, I love it. It helps me so much. It's so useful. I'm like, really? Okay. Yeah. Wow. I would never have, you know, it's like, it's this weird little idea I had, you know, I mean, my audience is still limited. So,
but, well, you know, I tell my wife, some of the ideas that I had when I was your student back in my day in the university, I now think, and again, hindsight is 2020, but I think what could have happened if I would have stuck with some of these items. Like, for example, during that whole time, I was running this website called myeclipse.com, and that was mine. And what my goal was, we were using at the time this thing called Alexa that would give you page analytics of how many hits and how many views and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So that's what I was using as an instrument to gauge and to sell that there's traffic coming through. So the thing was that I would go to these bars or to these clubs and take pictures and so forth. And then I would give them a card. Hey, visit myeclipse.com so that you can get your picture, or you can view the picture and so forth. And, you know, I kind of like just put it off to the side, and I'm just thinking to myself, man, if only I would have continued, if only it would imagine what could have been.
I know. I think we all do that.
Yeah.
That's really cool though. That was very innovative of you. Sounds kind of like how you're doing things now. So,
well, you know, and the thing is, like, and I tell this to the younger generation, like, if you have an idea, if you have an idea, act on it. You know, you're not going to get the buy-in from everybody, because what ends up happening is that it's so new that they don't understand. So what you have to do is now, this is where part of the 4-step plan comes into place. Number one, you have a plan, or it's not concocted as a plan. But number two, you have to communicate the plan. And this is where I lacked mm-hmm. in communicating the plan to educate everybody else about what the plan was. And therefore I just said, you know what, moving on, let's go. You like that? I know that. I know.
So, what's the other? Where are the other two points of this 4-point plan then?
That's another podcast that we are going to have to.
Because you can't remember.
No, I do. I do. Create the plan. Number two, communicate the plan, and then number three, implement the plan.
Oh, makes sense.
And after that, you reap guide the benefits. You guide it. And makes if sense. You ever get lost, revert back to step number one.
Good idea. I never think about those things. I think everything is very organic. And so
yeah, and typically we do. I mean, our experiences typically give us that format or that blueprint. And we don't think that it's a blueprint, but it really is a blueprint. And that's why if you go to my Instagram, I called it the blueprint, you know, because it's what we do. But
I guess I'm following that one.
Well, you know, I guess we just got to continuously be learners.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, my students are forever teaching me new things. So yeah, I get it.
No doubt. So, hey, so the podcast is already on 3 years of its existence. Tell us a little bit more about that. What else should our listeners know about that? Is there any special projects that you're working on with?
Well, it's kind of evolved, definitely, you know, coming from the closet to my living room. But it's about a year or so into it. I, in running, they have something called the Masters. And, you know, you hear that thrown around in the golf world and stuff like that. And it sort of varies. But in trail running, Masters is anybody 50 and over. And the only reason I learned about it is because not long after I turned 50, I started placing, and I was like, I would like, you know, place like first or third or something in Masters, you know, and I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. You know, it's like, I like this stuff, you know, and it didn't matter how bad my time was, you know, because there's hardly anybody out there. So, I got this idea to, create like kind of a sub podcast, kind of like what we're doing, called the Masters Edition. And so, you know, at least once a month, I'll interview a runner who's 50 or over, and you must be this old to get in. Yeah, so I've done that and met some really interesting people. You know, I most of them are Texas based just because it's like the people that I know.
Right.
Although I have tried to go out and, you know, encourage people from elsewhere. I did get a woman from Canada, so that was good. She was very interesting. But yeah, I mean, because I do think that as you get older as a runner, you know, I can tell you now, I mean, I was already slow and now I'm even slower. And it's just something that you kind of struggle with because you kind of look at your times and you're like, oh God, why can't I get any faster? You know, why, you know, like this race I'm doing this weekend, you know? So, I mean, I'm just like, I'm not going to worry about it. But so yeah, the Masters edition has definitely been a drawing point, and I think people enjoy that. When COVID first started hitting, and it was really, you know, like everybody, it really affected people, especially, you know, those of us in the running community, because we couldn't, you know, we couldn't do races. We really couldn't train together. And, you know, it just was sort of a really depressing time for everyone, but, right. You know, in our special neck of the woods. So, I mean, for a while I was just, you know, doing these COVID episodes, you know, and probably the most interesting one, I interviewed this guy named Matt Madej and his girlfriend Cassandra, and I can't think of her last name, damn it. But anyway, he's actually my brother-in-law's business partner. But and they spend their time in Europe, but like his girlfriend, she was never much of a runner, and then like as soon as he did a 100-mile race, she was like, well, I'm gonna do that too. And they both placed. You know, I mean, they're like in their 30s or something.
100-mile race.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they probably ran most of it.
You know, I could barely even do a mile. And you're over here talking about a mile and talking about doing a 50K with 31 miles into this whole 50K. Well,
here's the thing, you know, it usually takes a couple of miles to kind of get over that I'm going to die feeling. And then it gets a little better, but really it's a lot of mental. I mean, we can talk about that some other time, but
no, I mean, let's talk about it now because I mean, okay. I've been out of fitness for a while. I don't know if you recall, but there was a point in my life where I was just like gung ho on weight training and I was running and I was just like all about my fitness and so forth. But I was just like, what am I doing this for? Here's the thing, like you get so consumed with like so many different things in your life, and that's where I'm at in my life, where I'm, you know, I got my job and I'm doing, you know, what I need to be doing. I get home and all I want to do is just relax.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just thinking to myself, you know what, like I could be doing, you know, waking up a little bit earlier and putting in an hour of working out, but I don't know, I'm just at that point where I'm just like, what the heck for? I feel good as I'm staying hydrated. I'm drinking my supplements.
You look good. So
at least your own perspective, you know what I'm saying? I it's whatever. I mean, I feel good and I think as long as I feel good and I feel happy, I should be fine mentally. Right. Like, but absolutely. I would agree with you, like with the running part, is it mental or is it conditioning? I think it's a little bit of both.
It is both.
But, you know, once you get in that zone and you're just like listening to Metallica, you know, just rocking it and you're just staying in cadence and you're running and it just continues and you don't feel tired. You just feel like, I just need to finish this. And I think that's what you're talking about. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, there are definitely times, even though you've trained, you know, well for something, you know, you can get injured. You know, most famously, I, you know, was trying to do my first 50-mile race and slipped on some wet scrabble rock or something on this 1500-foot, you know, hill and tore open a flap on my knee. And we were like barely 4 miles in. And so I had to go to the hospital and get stitches.
Wow.
And that ended that race. But then there's other times when your brain is like your worst enemy. You're just sitting there going, oh my God, I hate this. It sucks. It's hot. I'm lonely. I'm bored. Nothing is feeling right. You know, are we there yet?
I just think of this one song right here. Check this out. She said, I seen you in here before. You know what song is this?
No,
I'm not as good as I once was.
Oh, I like that. That's very It sounds like my theme.
No, it's because, I mean, let's just be real. We get older and I'm not as good as I once was.
But you can be good at other things. And I guess that's...
Oh, no.
And this is why I think I like the longer distance stuff, because it's weird. I find that older people do better at the longer distance stuff in many ways, because we don't have the speed, but we've got endurance. And I mean, sometimes you've got both, but you know, yeah, but I think sometimes, yeah, I'm I've definitely, you know, DNF'd or did not finish, you know, and, you know, races just where my brain was just broken, as I call it.
How does that make you feel? Like, okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. You said DNF and did not finish. Does that really mess with you mentally, or does it do something else to you?
It's kind of a couple of things. I know before I ever had my first DNF, like my friends, you know, when I'd be at races, you know, because I just love that trail culture. And so I'd just go to races and do the shorter distances or crew or hang out or whatever. And it was sort of like somebody died, you know, because you just weren't sure, you know, what do I say? You know, you just feel terrible inside for the person. And, but once it happens to you, I mean, the first time I DNF'd, we had camped overnight. It was a 25K, which is like 15 and a half miles. And it had gone down to like 36, and it was like in November. And I was hypothermic. I mean, I was tripping and falling. My lips were blue. I was just, you know, and for some reason I ended up, this one guy was running with me, and this is really bad, but it was sort of like if Rush Limbaugh was on a trail, it was like running with that. Because this guy would not shut up. It was like, as soon as I told him I was an active journalist, bing, you know, that set him off. As soon as I told him I taught in the Rio Grande Valley, bing, oh, I bet all those kids are on financial aid. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I was really offended. I was trying to get away from him.
What a terrible dude, man.
No, he was. I know. But actually, that was my very first blog post. It was called Dick, aka the Gadfly. I know what his real name was, but you know, we all know what he is, so that's why I called him Dick. But sorry, it's not for a family audience. But anyway, yeah. So I mean, I cried because I decided I just got to get away from this guy, and I was having a really terrible time, and I just felt like hell, and so. You know, I just, you know, I cried, and the race director puts his arm around me, and he's sort of, have you ever seen the movie Dodgeball?
I have, yeah.
Hatches of Houlihan, you know, the dude in the wheelchair who's, you know, come on, ladies, you know, you can't dodge a hammer or a wrench. He's like that. Okay. So, you know, Joe's sort of like this tough guy, and I think he didn't know what to do. So he just puts, we're now very good friends, but yeah, he put his arm around, well, there's always next time. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it feels like a death. Sometimes it feels like a huge relief. Like, you know, a little over a year ago, I was doing a 25 miler, and it was self-supported. And this is, you know, again, peak COVID. And we had these like rolling starts. And I think I picked 10 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. Well, my friends were supposed to start with me, but they went ahead without me. They were doing the 100 mile, and I was only doing the 25. And I swear to God, it was like for the first 11 or so miles, there was no one. I saw no one. And it was just like so depressing. And I was just like, I hate this. I'm not going to, half the fun of doing trail runs is making friends, is like making these summer camp friends, as I call them. They're, you know, it's like you bond really well on, you know, during that experience. And then, yeah. You know, if you see each other again, it's like, hey, I missed you, you know.
But here you were, and there was nowhere to, no one.
No one. And so I rolled into the aid station, and two of my friends were there. They were running it. And I'm like, I'm dropping. And, you know, the husband's like, well, do you want to ride back? I really don't deserve it, but sure.
Appreciate it. Hey,
so my brain is broken. Nothing else is. But
going back to the way it made you feel, your brain is broken, man. So it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for those individuals that are not mentally strong, I would imagine.
No, because you got to figure it out. I mean,
yeah.
For me, you know, like, sometimes it's just that determination. I remember the first time I did a 50K, it was fine. It was four loops. It was at that same place where I DNF'd the first time. Funny. Oh, the irony, because that's where I also did my first 50 miler. I love that place. It's called Bluff Creek Ranch. It's out just north of LaGrange, Texas. Mm-hmm. And there's Longhorns, and it's a mountain biking place. So it's not as crazy as some of the other places that we go. But yeah, it was like all of a sudden the storm rolled in by the third loop. It was like lightning splashing through the pastures. Just like, oh God, please don't call the race. Don't call the race, you know, and the race director, the same guy that put his arm around me, he's out there lashing ropes to trees so we weren't sliding, you know, and breaking our legs and stuff. I mean, at one point I slid down a hill, you know, on my butt. You know, I'm just coated in mud, and I was just like having the best time because I was like, yeah, I'm going to be an ultra runner today, you know? And so I think sometimes you have that sense, you know, like, I don't care what happens. And then there's other times when you're out there and you're like, I hate this crap. I don't want to be in it. It really does sort of depend on, you know, where your mind is at. And if you can kind of ride it out, sometimes I can do that and finish and it's good. And I think I'm fairly typical of a lot of runners, you know, there are some, I have some friends that have never, you know, quit a race, you know, or, you know, if anything, they've had to drop just because of injury or they missed a cutoff or something, but
right.
You know, knock wood, that missed a cutoff hasn't happened.
All I'm saying is that if you were to say, Jay, you know what, there's this run this weekend and I take you on it, I'd be more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Because again, it goes back to like, I have not trained in a minute and I'd be huffing and puffing, you know, that first quarter mile.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, you do that. You just have to learn to kind of be patient with yourself. I think that's why I like it too, is you have to kind of teach yourself. You teach things about yourself, or you learn things about yourself. And so I think that's, you know, what you're made of. I mean, I did a 50K out at this same place where I, you know, dropped because my brain was broken. And it was like 30 degrees. It's kind of like how it's the weather's been, you know, this last week where it's like 30 degrees. It was like pouring like snow and ice and sleet. And, you know, there's like ice hanging off of the cactus and there's just all this mud. And I was just really having a rough go of it. And I think I cried through mile 7 and 8. Well, I was just thinking about personal things, but anyway, but then I just kind of like dusted myself off and was like, all right, let's get back at it, you know.
I mean,
and people will tell you that it's like you just have to learn how to ride the highs and the lows and stop listening to that voice in your head, you know, and a lot of times I can, and I mean, I know I'm going to struggle this weekend because I've not trained particularly well for this. I did this marathon, my first marathon in December, and it ended up being an ultra marathon. Anything above 26.2 is an ultra marathon. So this marathon was actually 28.56. So I was like, well, you know, I finished that in a fair amount of time. And then I did this other thing at the end of last year. It's called Snowdrop, where you go around these, this almost like 3/4 mile park thing, and it's children's cancer awareness. And I was part of a team, and I think all told over the course of like about 24 hours or so, I got like about 25 miles in. So I felt like, well, that's pretty good. You know, it's time on your feet. And so I feel okay.
One of the things that I like, I find interesting and fascinating is like, I think you mentioned it about the culture of trail running or the culture of running. And, you know, I think that's part of what cities are doing now to try to be preventative in the health of their communities. So they're sponsoring all these runs, right? These fun runs. And I, you know, sometimes I see these at, hey, let's have this fun run, but let's go have a beer after. Or they give you a beer right after, right?
Oh, yeah.
And part of that is a celebration. Part of that is like the thing or the moniker behind the race, right? Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that, because to me, I find it kind of ironic. Like, we're doing something healthy, but then let's go have a beer. But I understand the sense of it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I never drink beer after a race. I mean, unless it's like a night race, but that's a different culture. you know, and I have, we have also, again, we do some of these night trail races, which is very, very different. And I worked an aid station with this guy, and he brought a bottle of Fireball.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me ask you this. Did he take a selfie right after?
No, he did not.
Okay, so it's not who we think it is.
Oh, no. This guy wasn't even there. I know who you mean. Oh, my God, yeah. That's funny. I forgot about him. You know him, too. Oh, my God. No, but, yeah, so this guy and I, we're working the aid station, and, you know, he's got the bottle there, and this one guy, because people take three loops to get through this thing, and it's not unusual at trail races for people to drink shots. I don't ask me why. I mean, not really during the day, but these night ones, you know, or a really long one, they might do it. You know, sometimes in the winter, it feels good just to stay warm. You know, I mean, you don't want to get too trashed. Because, you know, I haven't really. Anyway, so we did a shot with this first person, and we're like, yeah, let's do it with each person. You know, and then I'm like, oh God, no, I'm going to be like, you know, on my face if I do another one.
Yeah, because again, that's what I'm saying. Like when I was on that healthy cycle, like I didn't even touch any of that. Like I was just like, you know what? But then once in a while it'll come and you're like, oh my God, I don't feel good.
I don't know. I mean, I see people at like 10 o'clock in the morning drinking beer, and I'm like, oh
yeah,
you know, I'll be taking a nap. But I mean, I think some of it, you know, they do it just to entice people. I can tell you that, you know, that relay thing I was just talking about, Snowdrop, it's sponsored by Michelob Ultra, and, you know, people can drink beer if they feel like it.
But as long, you know, that's what it boils down to. You know what? Let's do something healthy, but let's make a party out of it. Let's make an opportunity to get some hashtags and retweets and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think also it's, you know, sometimes, I mean, I know when I used to do these really long bike rides, again, I'm not much of a beer drinker, but I would love to have a beer after a really long bike ride, because it was like,
you got to carb up.
Yeah. And it just kind of, I don't know, the fizz or something. I don't know. I mean,
it's again, you got to carb up. Carbs give you energy.
Carbs are your friend. I know.
Well, hey, Donna, it's been a pleasure.
I've enjoyed this.
It's been great. Let's continue. Let's do this another time.
Yeah, for sure. Just, you know,
you're going to be like the mailman in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Woo, fun. Well, that sounds great. I look forward to that. And thanks for thinking of me. Okay.
Oh, well, thank you for being here once again. We're here, Donna Pazdura, the communication extraordinaire, former journalist, the Orville Peck number one fan.
Well, I don't know if I'm number one, but
I think you are.
I'm probably in the top 10.
Yeah. We'll talk.
probably the oldest straight woman.
That's all the time we got for today. Thank you for dropping in. This is the Joseph Bod Podcast. We'll see you in the next episode. Donna Pazdura, thank you so much.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.